Got something to say. Brought to you by South Bend International Airport, offering nonstop flights to 10 destinations with close parking and short lines. SBN is the smart choice for travel. Fly SBN.com.
Welcome to Got Something to Say with Johnny Reinhart, highlighting the people and events making the news and making a difference on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Got Something to Say is all brought to you by our friends at United Federal Credit Union. We get you, and we're talking with Jillian Conrad from the Berrien County Health Department. And Jillian, last week we touched on some changes and things that people need to know about, and there was a lot of information that came out from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about certain health orders and things that people needed to know. We kind of clarified on that stuff, but there's even more clear explanation from the Department of Health and Human Services about some of those things that we should be doing, right?
That's absolutely right. So we know that there were some Supreme Court decisions that limited Governor Whitmer's ability to use her emergency executive powers. But we also know that there is a lot of legal authority within the state departments, in particular, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. So under the existing public health code and the legal authority of the state health department, there has been some epidemic orders that have been put into place, the latest of which came out late last week. And there is just a little bit more guidance and clarity provided around what is or is not kind of allowed at this time. So, okay. First and foremost, face coverings, masks, we know that they work. They can reduce the possibility of COVID transmission up to 70%. It is something that we at the Berrien County Health Department are absolutely recommending and encouraging folks to do. And in the latest epidemic order from MDHHS, they are required. So pretty much in every single circumstance that they were required earlier under Governor Whitmer's executive orders, they are now still required. So businesses, workplaces, schools, childcare, just any indoor gatherings where people are, gyms, theaters, all of those sorts of places still need to be wearing masks. There are some new limits placed on attendance at gatherings, both residential as well as non-residential venues. Mm-hmm. So, non-residential venues, so you're thinking, a theater or an event venue. Indoor gatherings can have more than 10 and up to 500 people. And there's a little bit more about, limiting attendance for certain amounts of people per 1,000 square feet. Outdoors, gatherings can go up to 1,000 people to the extent that the organizers at the venue are able to, encourage face masks and have some of that social distancing built in. So those are some of the highlights and the main points. Again, there's some more limitations placed on restaurants and retail and that sort of thing. So you can find all of that information either by going to our website or michigan.gov/coronavirus.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff is information that, or a lot of the orders and things were kind of the same stuff that the governor was doing during our executive orders. So it is important things that people need to know about. And yes, the Department of Health and Human Services does have the ability and the legal ability to do all of these mandates and things. And it's all to help everyone. And help the numbers go down and help everything level out. But we have noticed that some numbers have been going up, and that could be a multitude of different reasons. The schools being open, a lot of other places being open, and the weather changing, so more things happening inside. But it's not people that are, I guess, breaking the rules, because the Supreme Court tossed out some of those orders that the governor had, but people, the cases are going up for different reasons, right?
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head, Johnny. It's really hard to attribute any sort of increase or decrease in our numbers to any one particular thing. There's a confluence of factors and externalities that can really impact what we're seeing when we are noting some new trends within our data, and you nailed it. I mean, we are seeing a bit of an uptick in the numbers of new cases that we're experiencing here in Berrien County. So within the last 10 days or so, we actually have had kind of a sharp increase in the numbers of cases we're seeing. In fact, within the last week, we had our single highest day of new cases throughout this entire pandemic. And that only just happened last week. So that is something that we're absolutely keeping our eye on. But we know that there are a lot of those outside factors that can impact the numbers of confirmed cases that may be coming in. And it is just one of the data points that we are looking at. Another data point that we discuss frequently is the percent of positive tests. Over the last 7 days, our rolling average is showing that that is increasing as well. As you remember, we were hovering right around 3% for a very long time, close to 2 months, in fact. But over the last 7 days, we have seen that increase. Now we're upwards closer to 4% for that percent of positive tests coming back. Good news is that we are not seeing any major increases in hospitalizations at this time. Nothing that is, so far outside of what we would expect, given some of these increases in numbers. Hospitals are still within good capacity. They have enough personal protective equipment, enough staffing, so that's in pretty good standing. And our death trends have not changed at all. Those are still very kind of constant with the periodic or sporadic deaths that we are experiencing and all of the trends that we've noted throughout this pandemic, with deaths being mainly in older adults over the age of 80, people with underlying chronic conditions. That trend still remains. So again, we're not, waving the red flag here, but we are definitely approaching this, looking at this trend with a little bit of caution, knowing that there are a lot of changes that are happening within our community context. People are going out and about more. They're gathering in larger groups. They might be going back to church in person. People are in school. We're headed into that holiday season where colder weather drives people indoors for family and friends and parties, and all of those things present a lot of opportunities for disease transmission to happen. So, what we're seeing right now is same talking points that we've had this entire pandemic, wherever people are able to take those individual actions, protect themselves and their families, keep doing what you're doing, staying home if you're sick, washing your hands, wearing your mask, keeping your gathering sizes small. I feel like a broken record with some of those talking points, and we all know them like the back of our hand by now, It's so important that we don't give into some of that fatigue that we're all feeling and really keep up with that and stay vigilant during this time.
Another thing about people going and moving around that I do want to touch on for a little bit here is Halloween is coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And so trick-or-treating going to happen. But you have some great information on your Facebook page as well as your website as far as the Halloween tips and tricks and things that people should know. It's not the usual of things you need to do to keep safe. There's some more things that you need to know about when it comes to just your regular old trick-or-treating. It's not the same. It's not going to be the same this year, right?
It's going to look a little bit different. We know that people are going to want to celebrate Halloween. This is something kids look forward to every single year, dressing up in a costume, going out and getting candy from your neighbors. It's a fun tradition and absolutely something that can continue to happen, given that parents and families are taking a few extra precautions that are recommended this year, just making sure that you can really limit your risk for disease transmission, COVID or otherwise. We're definitely headed into, the end of October here. We're going to start to see more Halloween events happening. So as far as some of the things that we're recommending, think about, same with all activities and just events that you might be going to, there's kind of a risk spectrum. So think about things being, lower risk activities versus higher risk activities. Celebrating at home, doing a costume photo shoot, a family scavenger hunt, or having a virtual party over Facebook or Zoom, those are going to be your lower risk activities that are going to be, the safest for you to engage in. Going to a crowded Halloween party, maybe something at a restaurant or a bar, indoor haunted houses, or trick-or-treating in large groups close together. Those are going to be some of your higher risk activities that you may want to reconsider and avoid this year. When you're going out trick-or-treating, first and foremost, if you are sick, if your kid is sick, if your dog, well, maybe not your dog, but if you or your children are sick, please stay home.
Right.
Stay home. Right. Just don't go out. When in doubt, sit it out. We do not want to risk anybody else getting ill with COVID or with any other illness that might be circulating at this time. So if you are going out trick-or-treating, if you're healthy and you're feeling your best, stick with members of your own household. That's going to be your best bet. Keep with the family, the the people that you are kind of hanging out with the most, people in your bubble, if you will. Try to stay about 6 feet away from other groups, same as you're doing when you're out in public around other folks. Just keep that distance where you can. So don't all crowd around, you know, a porch or a door to grab that candy. Make sure you're washing your kids' hands. Bring that hand sanitizer along with you out in your neighborhood route. Make sure that your kids are sanitizing or washing their hands before digging into all their goodies. And if a mask is not part of your kid's costume already, make it be. You can have some fun with that. Decorate it. Make it be something that is incorporated with the costume, and allow your kids to have a little bit of creativity with that. If you're a homeowner and you're going to be handing out treats this year, there's a few suggestions we have. You could consider creating little grab bags instead of letting kids pick out their own candy. I've seen folks have the idea of laying candy out kind of on a table, outside of their front door where people can kind of come up and pick up the piece of candy, put it in their bag and walk away. Greet visitors from a distance, especially if you are one of the people that falls into a higher risk category, an older adult, someone with underlying chronic conditions, or you live with somebody who is at higher risk. You know, consider not having everybody come straight to your door. Try to help people stay 6 feet apart where you can. And, you know, maybe you wear a mask as well to protect the kids that you are interacting with. Generally speaking, trick-or-treating is a lower risk activity because it is happening outdoors for the most part. And the interactions you're having with other people are very brief.
Yep.
So remember, when we're talking about being concerned about close contact or exposure due to close contact, we are looking at individuals who have spent more than 15 minutes within that 6 feet space. Trick-or-treating, it's rare that you're going to have that sort of interaction with people. Maybe if you're going to a trunk-or-treat event, we would just encourage, again, it's outdoors, your risk is going to be lower, but continue to wear those masks. You know, if you're going to be gathering and hanging out and kind of talking with other families, try to keep a bit of distance between yourselves and others. So same rules of thumb apply. We do know that trick-or-treating is something that can continue. There's a lot of municipalities that aren't necessarily sanctioning trick-or-treating, but they're definitely allowing it to happen. And again, we do believe it's an activity that kids can enjoy, that families can take part in, as long as they're just taking those extra safety precautions this year.
And there's a lot of great tips and good graphics as well that you can find at great places, your social media, as well as I'm looking at cdc.gov as well. And where's some other information that we can find, not only about trick-or-treating, but some of the other stuff that we talked about, Jillian?
Yeah, a great place to start is our website. We've got all the COVID information, as well as a lot of other information about what we offer at the Berrien County Health Department on our website. So head over to bchdmi.org. That's where you'll find all the things Berrien County Health Department related. And, you know, if you're someone that just really likes to talk on the phone and you want to get your questions answered by a live, real human being, give our hotline a call. We're still staffing that Monday through Friday during business hours. Give us a call at 1-800-815-5485, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. And then lastly, if you do hang out on social media, Facebook and Instagram is where you'll find us, and we do update very frequently on those pages, all the latest, sharing the resources, the news you need to know. So follow us there on social media too.
Wonderful. Well, Jillian Conrad from the Berrien County Health Department, always good to talk to you, and thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Got Something to Say with Johnny Reinhart, highlighting the people and events making the news and making a difference on News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM. Have something to say? Email letstalk@wsjm.com.